Listen to this Ross report for all the updates. Hi, I'm Maria Bransky, and welcome back to another Patriots Ross Report podcast, an official podcast of the New England Patriot. It's yet another Friday right here at Gillette Stadium on June 8th. We have all the guys back here, Brian Lowe, Tom Casale, Paul Pillow, and Andy Hart, wrapping up minicamp.
All right, thanks, Laurie. Back with another Patriots Roster Report podcast as we close out minicamp, the Patriots mandatory minicamp wrapping up here at Gillette Stadium. A wonderful week as far as the weather, and a wonderful week as far as getting to hear from Tom Brady and Randy Moss, which we hadn't done much of this offseason. So we'll start right off the bat with Moss and the entire wide receiver group, obviously for many reasons. A very well-watched group of receivers this week. What stood out most in your eyes as far as players in the wide receiver group that impressed, didn't impress? What do you make of what we see so far?
Talent.
Yeah.
A lot more talent this year than last year. I remember going out last year and we were watching John Stone run with the first team and just thinking, where's the talent? Well,
right.
It's here
and,
now.
And thinking that a guy like John Stone might be like the third receiver on the team.
Ron Henry,
yes.
And those guys.
I mean, you have Moss, who makes everything look so easy. You have Stallworth with the speed. You have Welker with the quickness over the middle. And the one guy who we thought struggled a little bit was Kelly Washington. Mm-hmm.
That's the one thing I'd say you asked stood out, pro and con. Randy Moss has some of the best hands I think we've seen here.
Yep.
You know, Deion Branch, Troy Brown, the people that could really catch the ball with soft hands consistently. Randy Moss is in that group, and on the opposite end of the spectrum, Kelly Washington struggled with the ball, jumping at times to try to body catch it. When he didn't jump, it went right through his hands. Whether it was just a one-week mental thing where it sort of snowballed or not, I don't know, but he really, really struggled catching the football.
And I'm sorry, and looking at the incumbents from last year, Caldwell and Gaffney, both, I thought looked pretty strong. And, you know, it's not, you know, Caldwell, I thought, had a pretty good offseason and into training camp last year. I thought we were all pretty impressed with him.
Everybody was raving about it until Atlanta when he, in the preseason game where he dropped the touchdown.
Exactly. And then that kind of seemed to linger most of the season until at the end he seemed to, you know, maybe that Green Bay game when he caught that bomb for a touchdown, that seemed to be, you know, kind of the coming out party. And he finished pretty strong. Gaffney obviously had the strong postseason. They both looked pretty good. But I still would kind of maintain my thoughts heading into this week. I think those guys, along with Washington, those three guys, I think, are really going to be in serious battles for roster spots.
And then the interesting intangible in all this is Troy Brown, who was at the team's golf tournament on Monday. Bill Belichick has said this offseason that he does expect Brown to be with the team this year, but he wasn't here at minicamp and he's not under contract. What's the latest that you guys are hearing on Troy Brown, and do you see him eventually signing and fitting in anywhere in this team?
Well, actually, you know, it's funny that we were just talking about this upstairs. We're still hearing that he is supposed to be a part of this team as a wide receiver, and I think that only cements the view that the guys that we all felt heading in, Caldwell, Gaffney, Washington, that I don't think there's room for all three of them. There may not be room for any of the three of them. Depending
yeah, and,
on how it works
and
out.
Plus Chad Jackson, where does he
Chad,
fit?
Chad
I mean,
Jackson,
maybe PUP, but if he's healthy,
right?
Right. Chad Jackson is going to be a part of the team in some capacity. Now, maybe he ends up on IR, and that gives you a spot, but he'll be here. He's not going to get cut. Mm-hmm.
And we haven't mentioned Wes Welker, who obviously is as much of a lock as anyone probably on this entire team. But
the biggest lock.
He's the biggest lock,
probably.
He's the lock because of his contract. But
he's looked very good.
Tom mentioned him, talking about his.
Yeah, the
you know,
quickness in the middle
over
of the field. But you look at him, I mean, you wonder, how does this guy play in the NFL?
Yeah.
He's tiny. You look at him compared to Kyle Brady. That's a snack for Kyle Brady.
So we're all
I'm
pretty
gonna
much,
eat ya.
So we're all pretty much saying that C.J. Jones, who the team signed yesterday, going to be a tough job for him to make this roster.
C.J. Jones.
Would be the biggest shocker since I arrived in New England if C.J. Jones makes the
That would be the biggest
roster.
Shocker since the team arrived in New England.
Right. He's battling the likes of Chris Dunlap and Kelvin Kite and Jonathan Smith I don't even know if Jonathan Smith is eligible for the practice squad, but a couple of guys who might be looking at practice squads, but we're not going to get into too much detail on C.J. Jones here, but they did sign him yesterday, the one actual roster move over the course of this week. Let's switch over to cornerback. Obviously another intriguing position. It's been all offseason because of the absence of Asante Samuel. No surprise. He has not shown up for minicamp, so we're not going to get into too much about him, but as far as who has been playing cornerback, Ellis Hobbs, Chad Scott seem to be 1-2 at
this
point.
Yeah, and I'll make a prediction now. I don't think Torrey James makes the team.
Yeah,
he
seems.
I didn't think he was good in minicamp. I watched the Snow Bowl last night. He's the worst player on the field. That was 5 years ago.
Since then he's started 64 straight games.
But
I don't think he looked good.
He does not look good. I think Chad Scott's probably the safest. That's why he's there, because they know what they get out of him.
Right.
But
we know Bill really likes Chad Scott. He's really praised him a lot over the last couple of years.
That's a touchy position without Samuel. It's a touch and go right
Chad
now.
Chad Scott started 9 games last year. So, yeah. I mean, he's sort of
played
the next
well.
In line.
I think Torrey James is here, though. I do agree with Tom that I thought he struggled in minicamp. I thought that he especially, when he was matched up with one of the higher profile newcomers, Stallworth and Moss, I thought ran by him a few times each. But I just think that, especially with the Samuel situation hanging, the way it is right now, I don't think they can really afford to cut ties with a veteran who could probably provide, at the very minimum, some depth.
Because they don't have that.
I don't
many.
Think of him as a no. star. Right.
Randall Gay.
You can't count on Randall Gay.
You can't count on Randall Gay.
Exactly. Everybody,
so you really have Chad Scott and Torrey James as
And Chad Scott
veteran,
is a huge injury
right.
guy.
Yeah.
I'm probably the biggest Chad Scott fan on the show.
Man, prove it to me in week. I can't
he's got,
count
he's
on
got
Gay
to prove
being
it,
healthy.
Though. He's healthy.
I assume he's unhealthy until he proves
he's
it.
He's been healthy at the start of the last two seasons.
Right,
right.
Right. And he played in 8 games total or whatever.
And going back to obviously in college, I mean, his rookie year in the pros has been the only year that he stayed healthy throughout the season over five or six years. So definitely question marks
Is Ray Mickens on the team?
No.
I'm just saying, if James continues to struggle through training camp, that maybe
Mickens maybe
well,
sure.
if he comes out and has, three miserable weeks in July, then I'll probably say that you're right. Like Eric Warfield last year. None of us was impressed with Warfield at minicamp last year, if we all remember. All the talk about the playbook and all that nonsense, and then all of a sudden in training camp it was the same guy we saw.
But James has been a better player than Warfield.
Yeah,
I would agree.
Right.
Except
certainly the numbers
stunk.
And you're the expert now.
Now that I actually realize he has an impressive resume when I looked it up, right. And the guys have started 64 straight games, went to a Pro Bowl a couple years ago. I mean, I thought he was like chopped liver when he came here.
Watch the Snow Bowl.
Maybe that was stuck in my mind. Maybe I had that back there somewhere.
And he has a bunch of interceptions, but it's kind of in the category of if you're not watching his games, you don't quite know exactly the context
right.
of the game.
There's a lot of Terrell Buckley, those kind of guys have a lot of interceptions. Doesn't mean they're great cornerbacks or that even as good as their numbers.
Now, how about over at safety? Eugene Wilson back on the field, seems like he's healthy. James Sanders missed the first couple days. He was back on Thursday. Rodney Harrison has been out there. Brandon Merriweather, nowhere to be seen on the practice field. Some of these interesting dynamics at safety, there's a little bit of some mixing and matching. Where do these different guys stand?
I think right now there's more questions than answers.
Sure.
Because I'm worried about safety.
Eugene Wilson, I talked to him at camp. He understands this is a big year. He needs to show he still has it. Admits he hasn't played as well as he did early in his career most recently. Battled the injuries. Rodney Harrison, I thought, did not look good out on the field. I thought he looked like he was limping a little bit. I thought he looked a little bit slow. Merriweather, I mean, are you getting into a Chad Jackson situation with Merriweather where he has a hamstring that retards his growth here in the first part of his career? I just think there's a lot of questions there, and for a secondary that has enough questions with Asante Samuel, it's worrisome to have a couple more at safety.
Absolutely. And
I don't think Wilson's 100% yet. He didn't look very quick out on the field.
A little tentative.
I thought Harrison looked okay on the field. I thought he was looking good for a while. But
I thought he had a little hitch to his gait.
He did limp a little bit when he was walking. When you pointed that out, Andy, I did see that. Right now, I'm a little concerned about the safety position.
Is Artrell Hawkins the only, almost the most sure thing of the safety group right now?
Probably.
As far as what you can rely on.
Because he's a veteran.
You know he's not going to be a Pro Bowler, but what you can rely on with him.
You
might
can plug him in if you need
exactly.
him. So,
exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
Like Artrell Hawkins when he comes off the bench.
Right.
Not so much
exactly.
We're counting on him to start games and be the guy.
I agree. The key there is Wilson. You guys said it all, all the right things. Because if he can come in and be more of a reasonable facsimile to what he was the first 2 years as opposed to the last couple, I think you're fine there with guys like Sanders and a young guy like Merriweather. Hawkins to fill in, even if Rodney, isn't up for the long haul here for 16 games. But if Wilson, is back to the guy we saw the last 2 years, now I think you have, like Andy said at the top, way more questions than you do answers.
One other position to look at in the category of more questions than answers, it seems to be running back, where Lawrence Maroney was not on the field Tuesday, and then Wednesday and Thursday was certainly there, but really didn't do too much. Sammy Morris, who to me, seemed like he was as active as any player out there, was wearing a red no-contact jersey. We're not really sure
during
why.
During a non-contact camp.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, well, and that's the interesting thing about it. The quarterback
quarterbacks weren't even wearing red.
But it was interesting because it seemed like he touched the ball more than anyone, at least as much as anyone from my perspective. Definitely some question marks at running back. Maroney, it's, you know, his right arm. I mean, we've seen all the reports of him, you know, kind of tossing the ball around with his left hand, you know, getting laughter from other players. Is it worrisome, the running back position?
A little bit. I mentioned the snowball game. I think if something happened to Maroney, you'd kind of have that running back situation again with maybe Sammy Morris being the Antoine Smith and Kevin Faulk being the Kevin Faulk. And
yeah.
But nothing consistent. There's no consistent running back that you can count on for an 8-week stretch, I don't believe, on this team if something happens to Maroney. And as we know, he hasn't necessarily carried the load.
Hasn't.
No.
Throughout his career, and he was nicked up last year splitting carries with Corey Dillon. So I think that's a question mark.
And the guy I've sort of been clamoring for as a true backup, Chris Brown, and the Patriots have had some contact with. Now there's reports he could
might
go back,
to Tennessee yeah.
with them being upset with Lendale White, and you know they obviously have the rookie, but if he's not available, then I don't really know who next in line would be to fill that sort of role. And I do think
Justice
that's
Harrison.
Still a, well, no. I still think that's a glaring need to have a true backup running back.
Yeah, that is definitely a question mark right now. Heath Evans,
Morris was looking like Kevin Faulk out there.
Right.
They were using him in passing drills. And
right. And when Andy talked to him, you know,
that's what he
couple
said.
Of weeks ago, that's what he talked about.
He sounded
Morris
like he
about
was
being a Kevin Faulk.
Passing down. And we even saw formations, spread formations, where they had split backs with Faulk and Morris on the field.
It was impressive, I thought, in those departments. You know, catching the ball, he showed some good quickness. I thought of him as a little bit more of a plodder than he looked like at
minicamp. No, I think he's athletic, but. And he thinks he's a powerful guy. He when I talked to him, he spoke about rather than making people miss, I kind of like to go through him, lower the shoulder, have power. But and he said the right things in terms of I'm preparing for a game in November where I might have to carry it 35 times. I just don't think that's a good thing for the Patriots.
Well, some of his best games were.
The rest of that quote is funny, though.
What?
You know, in a double overtime game.
Right.
See, man, that's impossible.
Yeah. Usually the 75-minute mark is kind of the limit.
You can only prepare for what you have to prepare for.
Right, right.
Possibilities.
Well, we'll certainly be keeping track of all these positions and many others in the next 6-7 weeks before training camp starts up. The Patriots finishing up their mini camp, a couple more weeks of the offseason program, and then it quiets down, but we'll be here with Roster Report Podcast throughout the rest of the offseason and into training camp, of course. So for Paul Perillo, Andy Hart, and Tom Casale, I'm Brian Lowe. That wraps up this Roster Report. Back to Laurie.
Thanks, guys. That's all for today. Remember to keep checking Patriots.com for all your latest Patriots information. Thanks for listening, and go Pats!